It's always a great blessing to be able to announce and welcome families coming to be with us and to be a part of our West Irwin family. So at this time, I'd like to ask the Wilhite family to stand. I believe that they are here. Yes, there they are. This is James and Natalie Wilhite, Amelia, Matthias, Levi, and Tobin. And we are so thankful they have been worshiping with us for quite some time. I believe a couple of band directors there. And so Joyce and I love them already. But we are so glad they have been very active already. And we are so thankful that y'all are here. And I know God has led you with us. They put on their card, looking forward to serving and loving others as members. And we are as well. Let's welcome them. Thank you. And of course, I share in everyone's elation at the announcement of Southern and Riley and Mabry and Mabry's little brother, who will be born around June 1st sometime, coming to be with us. They will move here on March the 1st. And again, as Jonathan shared, and I want to add Jonathan and Lori to that list, there have been so many that have stepped up and are doing so much, none more than Jonathan and Lori and Kelly and Heather. Kelly has been teaching the teens Bible classes regularly, and what a blessing all of you have been, everyone on the youth committee, all of those who have pitched in and helped out at organizing and planning and being at activities. And yes, you still have another couple of months to get to do those things. And we are super excited. I got to talk to Southern this past Monday, and sounds wonderful. I'm ready for them to be here tomorrow, but we'll take March the 1st. That will be great. And I know our young people that have continued to serve and be involved and continue to pray for Southern and for Riley and for their family to be here. And we are so grateful to God for answering our prayers. He is faithful all the time, and all the time He is faithful. That is such a great, great blessing as we consider the message today having to do with faith. I appreciate the songs that Rusty has shared with us today. And certainly we are of those who live by faith. As we begin, let me ask you a question. Of all the trips you've taken, which is your favorite? So I'm going to count to three, and when I say three, I want you to voice the destination. Just the destination. It might be a city, it might be an entertainment complex, it might be far away, it might be close by, but of all the trips you've taken, which is your favorite? Are you ready? One, two, three. Hawaii. I didn't hear yours. You probably heard mine. But Joyce and I were blessed to go to Hawaii one time in our wonderful 47 years of married life. And that was in 1997. And we had a great week on the island of Maui. And I know everyone has been on a lot of trips, whether they were local or close by or far away, even into other countries, other continents. But of all the trips you've taken, which is your favorite? And have you ever gone on a trip and tossed the map in the back seat? Told Siri, "You're out. I don't want any directions. We're going to go and see where we land." Many of you are sitting in your pew right now saying, "Yikes, I could never do that." Some of you are sitting in your pew right now saying, "That sounds glorious." Well, as we've begun this series, Heroes of Genesis, last week we spoke of Enoch and Noah, two of the early heroes of Genesis, of human history, found in that book, and how they walked with God. Upcoming, we're going to be speaking about Jacob and Joseph, two other heroes of the book of Genesis. And today we look at a faithful mother and father, and not just faithful themselves, but the father and mother of the faithful. We typically speak of Abraham as the father of the faithful, but I want to give a little shout out to Sarah as well today. Because both of them were the ancestors of all of us who approach God by faith. So let's look at the life of Abraham and Sarah today and how they were traveling with God. Here's a little map that gives you a little bit of an idea of how they went. Abraham and Sarah traveled with God on a massive road trip. Now, however you talked about your favorite trip, however that was, I seriously doubt that you walked there. I'm pretty sure that probably didn't happen. But of course, Abraham and Sarah living roughly around 2000 BC, transportation was a little bit more primitive. And yet they were called by God to go. You see Ur down there in the lower right, modern day Iraq, ran in that area. And then going up northwest through following the path of the Fertile Crescent, which kind of does a crescent there in the lands where there was water and the desert to the south. But they go up to Haran, and they're there. And then they go down to the area of modern-day Israel. And this would become the promised land, the land that God would give to them, to their descendants, as their own possession. And so a little bit about this trip. Ur, in southern modern-day southern Iraq to Haran, which is in southeastern Turkey, was about 600 miles. Haran to Canaan, modern-day Israel, was about 400 miles, and Canaan to Egypt and back was about 500 miles. In Genesis 11, we read a little bit about Abraham and Sarah's ancestry. Later on in Genesis chapter 20, as Abraham is trying to explain himself to Abimelech, we get the word that Abraham and Sarah had the same father but different mothers. Not unusual at that time, but of course it comes into play there and in Egypt a little bit later. But where Abraham's story really begins is in Genesis chapter 12. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Verse 4, "So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him, his nephew. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Verse 7, "The Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev, the south." Verse 10, "Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe." So you see Abram making that trip. God calls him, some say in Haran. It seems to be from biblical record that God had started that call while he was still in Ur. And Abram goes to the land that God would show him. He stops in Haran. He lives there for quite some time, has a relative who dies there, and then is called to go on and ultimately lands in modern-day Israel, and then goes from there to Egypt and back. That's a lot of traveling, especially if you're on foot. Stephen, in his great sermon in Acts chapter 7, recounting the history of God's people, also includes some other details about this call that Abraham and Sarah received while in Ur, and then later, of course, also in Haran. And two things about this trip. Number one, God didn't tell them where they were going. He said, get up, pack up, leave your homeland, and go. And I can just see Abraham saying, well, where? And God says, I'll tell you later. Just get in the car and go. And so imagine Abram going to Sarai, if she wasn't there when God voiced this, and likely there wasn't any audible sound. It was something that perhaps Abram heard in his mind from God. Perhaps not, we don't know. But imagine Abram going to Sarai after being established in Ur or later in Haran and saying, good news, honey, we're going on a road trip. Great. Where are we going? I've got a list of 5 places. And Abram says, well, I'm not sure. God's going to tell me later. To Abraham and Sarah's credit, they said, okay. We'll go. And the second thing about this passage in Genesis 12 are the promises. So many promises that God makes to Abraham and Sarah. If you'll do this, if you'll be trusting in me, if you will live by faith, I'm going to give your descendants this land. I'm going to bless you greatly as he did. I'm going to give you lots and lots of descendants, even though they were childless at the time. And I'm going to bless everyone who ever lives through you, through your descendant. Abraham and Sarah traveled with God on this massive road trip, but it was more than just a road trip. Abraham and Sarah traveled with God on a massive faith trip. As our shepherd Matt Hawes prayed, we sometimes have to wait on God. Faith calls us to be able to wait patiently. Sometimes I think, Matt, for me it's more patiently than at other times. But we're called upon sometimes to wait for God because God isn't always on our timetable and he doesn't always think like we do and he doesn't always give us the answers that we expect. And certainly Abraham and Sarah didn't expect to be called on this massive road trip that would become an incredible faith journey. And throughout the rest of their lives, Abraham being 75 years old when he was called, throughout the rest of their lives, they would be waiting for God. They would be waiting for the fulfillment of those promises. And for the most part, they died with those promises still in the future, still waiting. Abraham and Sarah traveled with God on this massive faith trip. For them, it was more than just a decades-long road trip. It was a trip into coming to see that faith mature and continue to grow throughout their lives on this journey. Genesis 12, the journey with no known destination, they end up in Egypt, and Pharaoh is there, and he sees Sarah. She is very desirable. He wants to take her as his wife. Abraham says, she's my sister, which was half true. Again, they had the same father, different mothers, and Abraham, this is a faith journey, right? Hey, Bill, he's the father of the faithful. He should have said, God's going to take care of us. We'll just tell Pharaoh you can't have her. But he wasn't quite there just yet. And so, of course, Pharaoh does not let Sarah become the wife of Pharaoh. God does not let that happen, and Pharaoh challenges Abraham on it, and we'll see that again. But God delivers them. In Genesis 13, Abraham and his nephew Lot, Lot's father had died, Abraham's brother, and so Abraham, for all practical purposes, adopted Lot. and took his family with him on their journey. And they come to a place in a time where there's not enough land and too many people in possessions. And so Abraham says, look, choose a place to live and I'll choose somewhere else. You get first choice. And Lot chose the most beautiful, the most greenest, the best watered place that there was a choice to find, and it was Sodom. Abraham gladly gave that to Lot, not knowing what the fate of Sodom and Gomorrah would be. And so then they settle, and in Genesis 14, Lot and the area around him, they're taken captive by some of the neighboring countries and kings, and Abraham puts a battle plan together and gets a group together and goes and delivers Lot and brings him back. And it's in Genesis 14, on the way back, that Abraham has this interesting little conversation with a priest of God by the name of Melchizedek. And he shows up again once or twice in the Old Testament. And finally, we get more about him in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. That gets us to Genesis chapter 15. And in Genesis chapter 15, there's this said about Abraham. Verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus, his faithful servant. And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord, verse 4, came to him, This man will not be your heir. But a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and he said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you could count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. In Genesis 15, verse 6, Abram believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Just as Adrian shared during that wonderful communion time and contribution time, Abram went from bad standing to good standing with God. Why? Because he believed him. And God credited it to him as righteousness. God put Abraham and Sarah in good standing because of their faith. The covenant is renewed. Abraham responds. And then in chapter 16, Abraham and Sarah decide to try to do God's work for him. You've never done that, right? You've never been so impatient with God that you've been waiting for him to fulfill his will and promises in your life, and so you try to do it for him. Well, that's what they did. And they took Sarah's servant, Hagar, and said, Well, Abraham, I guess God is going to do this through a child of yours, but not biologically mine. So take my servant girl and sleep with her, and she'll have a child, and that will be the heir. And that was not all that unusual at the time, horrible to think of in our day. But they did that, and Abraham's first son was born, and his name was Ishmael, but he was not the son of promise. He was not the son of Sarah, but he was the son of Abraham. In chapter 17, God gives them the sign of the covenant, circumcision. Circumcision for the Jews goes all the way back to the time of Abraham, 2,000 years before Christ. Abraham is 99 years old. Ishmael is 13. And God says, This will be our covenant from now on, just to remind you of my promises and of the fulfillment of those promises. And God brings to them circumcision. And also at this time in Genesis 17, Abram and Sarai's name are changed to Abraham and Sarah. And it indicates the multitude of nations and people that will come through them. It's a great reminder of God's faithfulness. In Genesis 18 and 19 is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. It begins with three visitors from heaven that come to Abraham. And Abraham realizes that they're pretty special, and he has this great meal. And while they're there, they tell Abraham, Sarah's kind of got her ear to the door listening in. And they tell him, a year from now, you and Sarah will have a child. And Abraham can't believe it. Sarah can't believe it. And she kind of snickers and laughs. And so the messengers from God tell Abraham, okay, this little boy's name is going to be laughter. This little boy's name is going to be Isaac. And sure enough, a year later, Isaac is born. But before they leave, Abraham hears the news about Sodom and Gomorrah. Their sinfulness has tried God's patience long enough. We get our term sodomized from the men of Sodom. That's how bad it was. And God says, I'm done with them. I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham bargains with God. He is called God's friend. He goes to God and says, well, wouldn't you spare the city if 50 righteous people could be found? And God says, I'll spare it for 50. And Abraham says, how about 45? It's just five more. Okay, I'll spare it for 45. How about 40? How about 30? How about 20? How about 10? And God says, you find me 10 righteous people in Sodom, Abraham, and I'll spare the city. And 10 righteous people could not be found. And God rained fire and sulfur and brimstone down on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, but Lot and his children, his daughters, were saved. In Genesis 20, Abraham and Sarah are in Gerar, southwest of Jerusalem. In Genesis 21, Isaac is born. And Hagar and Ishmael are sent away. In Genesis 22, Abraham says the unimaginable message, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, this son of promise, and sacrifice him to me. And Abram faithfully does it. Later it would be said of Abraham, believing that God could raise him from the dead. God had given that son to him in his old age. At 100 years old. And so God could surely bring him back to life, but God stops him. Abraham, Abraham, he's got the knife ready. But God spares the son of Abraham. God later, 2,000 years later, would not spare his own son for our sakes. In Genesis chapter 23, Sarah dies at age 127. Sarah has the great thing said about her. She is the only woman whose age at her death is announced in the Bible. 127. Because there's no place to bury her, Abraham buys a field with a cave in it from a man by the name of Machpelah. He buys the cave of Machpelah. It's about 18 miles south of Jerusalem. Buries his beloved wife Sarah there. Ultimately, Abraham and Sarah, their son Isaac and his wife Rebekah, their son, Abraham and Sarah's grandson, Jacob and his wife Leah, would all be buried in the tomb in the cave of Machpelah. Abraham gets a wife for Isaac from their homeland in Genesis 24. Her name again is Rebekah. And then Abraham dies and is buried at the age of 175. His sons bury him, Isaac and Ishmael. And so again, Abraham believed God, was declared to be righteous, and was called God's friend. Genesis 15, verse 6. And it's such a powerful, powerful statement that we hear it referred to again several times in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 4 and in Galatians 3, it is said that those who are children of faith, who believe, are children of Abraham. Paul describes in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised, was strengthened in his faith, and that's why it was credited to him as righteousness. And then Paul says, not only for him, but for all of us, God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. In Galatians 3, Paul would say similar things and say, those who have faith are children of Abraham. Those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And James, in his book, in that great chapter, James chapter 2, talking about how our faith must be followed with works and deeds. We must not just believe something is so, we must act like we believe it's so. And that's what Abraham and Sarah did. And James takes that same verse, Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham believed God, and God credited it to him as righteousness. Looks back on the time when Abraham even offered up his son Isaac on the altar. And he says this, you see that his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by his actions. Biblical faith is always an active, obedient faith. James writes, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. Abraham believed God. Abraham lived by faith. Abraham understood what we're going to sing about in just a few moments. Faith is the victory. And in Hebrews chapter 11, that great honor roll of faith, we read so much about these heroes of Genesis, and we read so much about Abraham and Sarah. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. She was 90 years old when Isaac was born. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. Living and dying by faith. Waiting for God. Trusting in God, waiting with faith. That promise that was made to Abraham would not be fulfilled until it was fulfilled in Jesus, the Son of God, and until it was fulfilled less than 2 months after his death, burial, and resurrection in the Church of Jesus Christ, of which we are a part today. Because like Abraham, we have believed God with an obedient, active, working faith. And like Abraham, God has credited it to us as righteousness. I love this quote from Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Do you believe in God enough to trust Him? Do you believe in God enough to be obedient to Him, to repent of your sins, to confess that faith before others, to be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins so that you can be raised to live a new life, a life of faith, a life of trust, a life of promises, a life of hope, a life of joy? That's the kind of life that Abraham and Sarah lived. That's the kind of life that Jesus brings and that all who follow Him have received. I want you to have that life. I want you to have that hope. I want you to have that joy. But it only comes by faith, by your faith. And if you want to have that faith that is so strong that even against all hope, in hope, you too can believe, we would love to help you find that level of faith. If we can do that, come to the front as we stand and sing our hymn together.